undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless. Our offering this morning is for the fatherless. And we can't go there in person and visit them, but we can visit them by helping to provide for them. I thank the Lord for that opportunity. A month ago, I started sharing this message. The title was, I Need Jesus Because I Need Redemption and Restoration. And we looked at this idea that redemption is needed, or is the idea of being purchased by a kinsman redeemer. It's the price of freedom. It's deliverance. To be reconciled is to have restored relationships. And we looked at that, and we realized that one of the problems is not happening there, Josh. One of the problems is that we have been sold. We have been sold under sin. And the interesting thing is that Isaiah says, you sold yourselves for nothing. What do we get out of selling ourselves into sin? Nothing. We get absolutely nothing for it. The wages of sin is death. And so he says, the redemption is also going to happen without money. So we sell ourselves for nothing, and then we are redeemed without money. What can we do to redeem ourselves? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is nobody rich enough to pay for their redemption. Okay? So that's one of the things we looked at. Need to go on down to the slide there, of 14 or 13, whatever it is there. So we looked at a number of things of what all the redemption thing is doing for us. And I had to think, there we go, thanks Josh. I had to think, as we think of Easter, the death of Jesus Christ, and we'll look at this some more, but the death of Jesus Christ pays for our redemption and our reconciliation. It's through the death, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we can have redemption and reconciliation. The resurrection seals that work. It's the proof fact that it has been accomplished. If Jesus had paid for that, but had not resurrected, then we'd be in doubt, wouldn't we? And we'd have reason to doubt. And Paul says, if it weren't for the resurrection, then we are of all men most miserable. We've trusted in something that is not going to happen. But because of the resurrection, it's reality. The redemption and the reconciliation is complete. It is accomplished in Jesus Christ. And the fact that He had the power over death proves that reality. And it gives to us the reality that we can have that, and that we will also resurrect and live in newness of life here on earth and in the future. So we'll pick up where we left off the last time. We'll finish out a little bit here of the redemption part, and then we'll go over into the reconciliation part. So my Redeemer lives. We say He's risen. He's risen indeed. We talk about that a lot when we get together on Easter. But that's an important thing for all of life. And I want us to just notice something. Job, at the lowest point of his life, the absolute lowest point of his life, said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that. So, I want you to remember this morning That even though today is Easter and we think about Jesus living, we think about the fact that He is alive and that He's interceding for us at the right hand of God, that's important for us to remember, not just on Easter Sunday. That's important for us to remember when life gets really tough. When things are all downhill and it doesn't look like there's anything better in sight. When Job said this, it was not because he looked into the future and he saw things getting really bright. It was because he looked at the present and he saw no place to go but downhill. Right? I mean, when everything's happened to you that happened to Job, I think you're mostly like me. You're saying, what else? I mean, this is bad enough, but what else? But Job is saying, I know that my Redeemer lives. And by the way, Job probably lived before Moses. He probably lived before God revealed Himself in the way that He did to Abraham and to Moses and to all those men of God. So He had something there that we need to learn from. And we need to take hold of. And this is something that you and I need for every day of our lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Doesn't matter how bad we feel. It doesn't matter how low things are. It doesn't matter if everything we've had on earth is lost. It doesn't matter about any of that. I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen? Everybody awake this morning? That was a good breakfast. And it was plenty, so easy to get a little sleepy here, right? Okay. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our redemption. Now, you want to know how you can know that you are being redeemed. One of the ways that you can know is the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Romans 8:23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So our spirits are being redeemed, but the time is coming when our body will also be redeemed. And Ephesians 1:14 says, which is, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What he's saying is, okay, we have, the redemption has been paid for in Jesus Christ. And that gives the opportunity for God to give us the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is a seal on us that the redemption is happening and will be completed. So when you're hearing the voice of God, whether it's in teaching, whether it's instructing, whether it's correction, whatever you're hearing from God is the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, and that's a reminder that the redemption price has been paid, and the redemption is in process. It's part of our inheritance. And that is being fulfilled. We've received the down payment, the initial part of our inheritance. But the redemption will be complete on the other side. Okay? Get that? So remember, whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, remember, it's a reminder that we have received the down payment of our redemption. And we can rejoice. And we can be glad in that. Redemption is the theme of the saved. Over in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, he says, they sang a new song. This is around the throne. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. It's talking to Jesus Christ. You were slain, You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tribe and tongue and people and nation. This is talking all the way down to people groups. You've redeemed us. And this is the song of the children of God. We worship God by thanking Him for redeeming us. And I don't know how often you do this, but I think it's something that we all need to do more often. Just spend time before the throne. Thank you, God, for redeeming us, for redeeming me, for paying the price for my freedom, for paying the price for my redemption, for buying me back from the place I had sold myself into, from the sin I had sold myself into. You bought me back. And I want to praise you, God, for what you've done. Now, just like we had sold ourselves, we also find ourselves estranged, alienated. We find ourselves as enemies. This is what the scripture talks about. And so, when we think about God, this is where we all are before we meet Jesus Christ. This is God's words. He's describing the situation. We are estranged. What happens when you're estranged? Relationships are broken, aren't they? You don't talk, you don't get together, you don't have anything going on. What happens when you're alienated? We talk about aliens. That's a common word in our society. Aliens. People from another planet. We don't belong. Exactly. We have no connections. We have no relationship. We have no connections. And we're enemies. We have no friendship. There's nothing good happening between us. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, here's how he says it. At that time, he's talking about when we were outside the family of God. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, we were separated. Here's the commonwealth of Israel, and that when he's talking about that, he's talking about the people of God. Here we are over here, we're on another planet. We're not connected. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Here's the covenants that God had given, all the promises that God had given to His people. And here we are over here, we're strangers from that. We have no part of it. We're not connected. Having no hope. Nothing to look forward to. Without God in the world. That's describing our condition outside the family of God, outside of Jesus Christ and His redemption. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and part of the household of God, part of the family of God. You're children. You're adopted into the family. You're no longer strangers, aliens, enemies. You're part of the family of God." So we want to look at that. We're reconciled by Jesus' death. Romans 5:10. "For if, when we were enemies..." Pay attention to this. "If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." We were enemies, and we were reconciled. Now, whose idea was the reconciliation? Ours? No. It was not our idea. It was God's idea, okay? We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see the beauty in that verse? There is so much there. When we were enemies, we were reconciled. Relationship was restored. We were enemies. God made us sons and daughters. He restored that relationship. He reconciled us through the death of Jesus Christ. Now he says, since we've been reconciled, how much more is God going to do in us through the life of His Son? That is awesome. That is just awesome. All we got through the death of Christ is just amazing. You can't find words to describe the redemption and reconciliation that we experience with God through Jesus Christ. There just aren't enough words in any language to describe that. But he says, how much more are you going to experience in His life? So God is at work reconciling us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 16. That He might reconcile both. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Not only did Jesus Christ reconcile us to God, but He reconciles us to each other. He slays the enmity. Mark it down. When you become a true child of God, you lose the enmity that you have toward other people. If you're just alienated and enemies and separated and estranged and all this stuff is going on and you're part of it, you're contributing to it, you better stop and look back and see if the life of Christ is in you. Because when Jesus comes, He brings restoration, reconciliation, not only between us and God, but also between us and others. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews, He says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live in good relationship with all men. All men. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This was the work of Jesus Christ. This is why He came. This is why He is our high priest. Because He's able to make reconciliation. There is no other way for us to be reconciled to God. No other way. All the good we may try to do, all the wrong we may try not to do, whatever we have is not going to reconcile us with God. Only the work of Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. We sang it. We need to live it. We need to take it into our hearts, into our lives. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. Paul talks about it here as well. He says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. Having made peace. Remember? We were enemies. We were alienated. We were strangers. There was not peace between us and God. But now, through the cross, and you think about this cross, us and God, us and each other. It reaches in all directions. Made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. God's purpose, God's plan, God's desire, God's will is that all things be reconciled to Him. If we're not reconciled, it's not because God hasn't done enough. It's because we've turned away. We refuse to accept. Maybe we haven't heard. Maybe we haven't known. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies. There it is again. You were alienated. You were enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. I don't know about you, but that verse there and the last verses in the book of Jude blow my mind. They just do. How can God take me from being an enemy, a stranger, an alien, a rebel, a sheep going astray, going my own way? How can He take me from that to unreprovable, unblameable, holy in His sight? Can you explain that to me? I don't think there's enough English words to explain that. I don't think there's enough words in any language to explain all of that. It's the work of God through the death of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. In the body of His flesh. He's reconciled us in the body of His flesh so that He can present us. Jesus can present us to the Father. Holy. Unblameable. Unreprovable. In His sight. And Jude basically says the same thing. Present us faultless before the Father. That's amazing. That only comes from someone that has the power of life. The power of eternal life. I love that. Now, here's the deal. God has done all of that. But now, He's turned that over to me and you. This thing of reconciliation. And our job here on earth is described here in these verses. It's not the job to go around telling everybody what they're doing wrong. It's not the job to tell everybody how they need to do things like me. It's not the job to go around and straightening everybody else out or being like the publican and the Pharisee where the Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like this guy. No. Look at what he says. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. What we've been looking at. By the death, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. We become no longer aliens, no longer strangers, no longer enemies. We become family. We come into relationship. He's reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry, the work of reconciliation. Are you working at reconciliation? Is that your daily work? Is that my daily work? Working at reconciliation? Paul says, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's put it on us. He's given us reconciliation, and when we're reconciled to Him, then He sends us out to reconcile. That's our purpose. That's our calling. And He explains it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Wasn't counting their trespasses. And now He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. He talks about the ministry of reconciliation, and He talks about the word of reconciliation. He's given us the word of reconciliation. And so He says, now we're ambassadors for Christ, just like God was talking through us. God is speaking through us. We pray you, we beg you, in Christ's stead. We're here instead of Jesus Christ, and we are begging you, be reconciled to God. You ever begged anyone to be reconciled to God? If you haven't, you're not doing your work. That's what He's given us to do. Be reconciled to God. Don't be His enemy. Be His family. Don't be estranged. Don't be alienated. Accept what He's done for you in Christ and come to Him and receive what He's offering you. That's the message that comes to us in this thing of reconciliation. Let's stand together. I want us to just think about this morning what an awesome, awesome, awesome opportunity God has given us. Picture comes in my mind just now. When my wife and I were sitting, I think I've shared this story before, sitting in a restaurant in Nepal with a holy place right out in the middle of the street, a large tree there with idols under it. And an old lady made her way up there and up onto the platform, and she had her incense that she burned, and she prayed her prayers to Buddha, and she put her rice there and whatever other things she had. And away she went. She didn't know. She didn't know that she could be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And we went to a statue of Buddha, a large statue of Buddha there, and I watched as the people went up there and kissed that Buddha, bowed down, offered their incense. I see all the festivals to the Hindu gods, the millions of gods that the Hindus have, and the worship, and they don't know. You know what? We're called. We're called. We go here and we do kids club and we find kids that know nothing about Jesus, know nothing about reconciliation with God, our neighbors. Wherever we go, there's people that need to be reconciled to God. It's our job. It's our calling. It's a gift that's been given to us along with the reconciliation that He's given us. What are we doing with it? He's given us life. We need to share life. Father, we thank You. We thank You for redemption and reconciliation. We thank You for this Easter season when we're reminded of it. And Lord, I pray in our daily lives, when we find ourselves at the lowest point, help us, Lord, to reach out and cry out and speak out that our Redeemer lives. And I pray, God, that You help us as we remember the reconciliation that You've offered to us that we be faithful in being ministers of reconciliation. You've given us the word of reconciliation. You've given us that which we need, O God, to be reconciled to you, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask you to continue to work in our hearts to produce that work of redemption, which will ultimately result in our being with you forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
End with "Behold our God," where it says, "Behold our God, behold our King, nothing can compare.